Should I not do this voice the entire
podcast? You're welcome to do that voice the entire time.
I just can't do voices because it's like my normal speaking is doing a voice.
Well, everyone's normal speaking is doing a voice.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't do a fake voice on top of my day-to-day fake voice.
Sure.
Fair.
Like all words are made up.
Yes.
That might be the funniest underappreciated line in all of the Marvel films. Is Thor in Avengers Infinity War when he's like, you know, we need to go to Magrathea or whatever planet they were going to go to. And Rocket's like, that's a made up word. He just goes, all words are made up. And the movie just continues. Like nobody even blinks at it.
Hey, and welcome to episode 294 of the Crippled System podcast. I forgot to update Twitch page, so it's going to show 293.
It says 294.
It says 294 on there, but I didn't update the other part.
You foolish fool!
Yeah, because I was too busy playing WoW for the last 3 days.
Oh.
Speaking of numbers, I'm not a pot smoker guy, but it just occurred to me today how excited the pot smokers must be for next April.
Yeah, it's a whole month.
The entire month is 420.
Let's hope we get rules in place here. My mom was going to try to bribe me to fix her computer with pot brownies.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Except for she lives in Oregon.
Yeah.
And which means she would have to ship them to here.
Oh, that Oregon. I was going to say which the road.
Yeah. The city, the city or the state.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely that would be an issue. Shipping pot through the mail.
It's only slightly felonious.
Yeah. I mean, if it was, no. Because U.S. Postal Service, that's at least a federal company. I think, is it privately owned or is it actually federally owned?
It's federal.
Okay, yeah. So that would be bad.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
That's okay. If you ever want any, I know a guy. I just don't take advantage of it because I'm not personally a big user of it.
No. I mean.
It's such an investment of time.
Well, I mean, I'd have to cut back on my WoW playing.
You can play WoW High.
Yeah.
No. So not
WoW definitely play WoW High.
I don't want to play WoW Classic High.
Well, sure, yes. It might end badly, but...
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about WoW is when you are drunk in the game, all the mobs are like 4 or 5 levels lower than what they actually are.
Hopefully not all of them. Hopefully it mixes and matches so you're never quite sure.
No.
If they all just do it, then you just count. It's like the people who set their clock 10 minutes fast so that they'll be at work early. It's like, no, you just do the math in your head. You're not fooling anyone.
It's just like, oh, it's like a little side effect because it makes you think that you're stronger than you are.
Right.
But you're not.
No.
You started to say something a couple times.
I might have.
Okay, fair. Yeah. I wanted to give you the chance to finish saying it, but if it's gone already to the ether.
Oh, yes. I pulled it back from the ether. It didn't properly escape. I was like, no, it's like, so anyway. I have.
Come on. So,
really mean.
So I have spent enough time on Ventrilo servers back in when Classic WoW was actually being run the first time around.
Is that where you have to play without moving your mouth?
Yeah, sure. And I've been spent enough time on those servers while we had 40-man raids that I can assure you that you can play Classic WoW while stoned.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know I can. But I mean, seriously, and this is what I tell basically everybody. This has gone from like basically ever since I got fat. It's like, do I really need another reason to snack?
Sure.
I mean, do I need a reason?
On the other hand, if you already snack constantly, then the munchies aren't going to be giving any difference to you.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
No, mine is just that if I smoke, it's like, okay, I'm not getting anything done the rest of this day. And
for me, it's just that it's more convenient and less smelly to just get drunk.
Yeah.
So I just get drunk at home.
Yeah, there's something like back in the day when I had longer hair and not going bald, it really sucked when you go into a bar because it was just filled with, well, of course, I'm older too, so I remember when you could smoke in bars.
Yeah.
There's still places where you can smoke in bars. It's crazy.
But it's, I mean, like walking past somebody, going outside to hang out with somebody because, you know, they're going to go out and smoke. Mm-hmm. Just that lingering smell, just it bothers me so much. Well, and it just sticks in my beard hair and hair. And it's like, yeah.
On the other hand, Andy, it's very, very inconsiderate of you for you to go to concerts and not have marijuana.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like that's false advertisement.
Yeah, because I'm. Oh my God, how many times I get asked if I'm holding at a concert? It's. Yeah. I think you were there when we were at Andrew WK, and yeah. Somebody asked me if I was holding. Like Jesus Christ, come on.
Ironically, I was.
And do you think I would want to share?
For legal purposes, I was joking.
Today's the third, right?
Probably.
Yeah. It's the third.
Yeah, it's the third. Today's the third.
I don't need to update the Go Live notification because that's already gone through.
Announcements. Gamehole Con was this weekend, the weekend that's now wrapping up. And I'm guessing by this time, Gamehole Con's probably done. 6 o'clock on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine they're done. But all the pictures I saw of people who went there, it looked like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like Rick's a war machine in Hordes events. We're pretty...
Company of Iron.
Well, no, because he was running like demos and such there. There wasn't. Oh, I don't think he was running an actual tournament, but his Company of Iron.
Yeah, I thought he just did Company of Iron.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Either way, sorry. They went well is where you were going.
Yes. I know his big narrative event, it sounds like he was doing that on Sunday. It might have been better served for him to do that on Saturday. Where do you...
My thing's smooth. Yours are lumpy.
Yeah, because you have a different stand.
Oh.
See, we got jam stands.
Oh, and I got rocker.
You got a rocker stand. Yeah.
Stage rocker.
To be perfectly honest, I really don't like those at all.
That's why
you have one.
No, I mean, we technically have a third one of those, but when I... That just ended up getting stuck with the red microphone. You always want that red microphone.
Wouldn't it be a second one of these?
No, I have two of these.
You meant a third one of these.
I have three of these and two of those.
Oh, sorry. I was just distracted with how
those are very loud for when you unscrew them.
And when I do like this?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Audio podcast. Bad.
Yeah, Company of Iron. Warm Hordes, Rick with the stuff and doing.
Yeah, it sounds like all that was good. I unfortunately did not go to Gamehole Con at all. Maybe next year, if I'm into more role-playing stuff, I'll be going. But
I was just too busy. Too busy this year.
I played WoW all day yesterday with Jim. So
I played a million hours of Outer Worlds over the last 2 days.
Yeah, I should play that too.
Maybe I'll finish it when I get home tonight. And then my second playthrough, I'm going to do... So the first playthrough, I was very charismatic and conversational, because that's what I like to do in those games. And it was really neat that in Outer Worlds that has combat effects. My second playthrough, I'm just going to play as the dumbest possible bruiser I can be and just kill every NPC on site and see what effect that has on the game. Like, kill on site immediate. No conversations, no walking past. If I see you, I kill you.
So just like in the trailer when they have the choice yeah. model there.
But I would kill both of them, and then that chick who tells you didn't have to kill them. Zero pause. Just the instant I start the game, just murder, 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 and I'll see what effect
so
that has.
So that's like you'll clear out the opening zone, won't be able to travel anywhere, and just declare yourself for the victor.
You still can travel.
Oh, okay.
You have a ship. So I'll just kill everybody. I'm curious what how the game will adjust the main plot line.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most of the main plot line you can do just through like computers and taking items from people, and they'll still have those items after they're dead.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how it'll go.
Well, I know that, like, Fallout 2, you could basically go and kill the shopkeepers and just get all their shit.
Yes,
then
yes,
you can't enter that town again.
No, but you don't. Well, yeah, you can wait, like, a week or something. Or you just don't need to. Like, yeah. The speedruns for Fallout 2, you go to one of the first towns, you kill someone, and you steal their power armor, which lets you infiltrate the final base, because now you're in power armor, so they don't know that you're not one of them, and then you win. But, yeah.
I think I had Fallout 2 for the PlayStation.
Yeah, not the way to play it.
Yeah. A lot of PC games, when they ported over to the PlayStation, was not the way to play it. Yep. Like I know I have Warcraft 2 on the PlayStation as well.
Yeah.
And RTS on controller is not good.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on air previously, but I had the Horned King on the PlayStation 1 as well, and that went really badly.
Yeah. Your clicks per minute on a controller are not very good.
Yeah.
I have four. 4 CPM.
Yeah. Meanwhile, your opponent that's on the other side playing mouse and keyboard It's like they have an entire Armada set.
So maybe that's how you make it fair, is all the Koreans have to play on a PlayStation while everybody else plays on a PC.
That was something I heard. I'm changing the subject a little bit. There's something I heard about StarCraft. Supposedly there's some French player that's better than the Korean players.
Sure, sure.
That's up there in the championships. Mm-hmm. Whatever the StarCraft championships that was happening over
Blizzcon. Didn't some non-Korean woman win last year some big StarCraft tournament? So it was a big deal because not only wasn't she Korean, but she was a girl gamer, which people poo-poo.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, BlizzCon happened, and that was there's a lot of cool announcements. I like the direction that Diablo 4 is headed.
South Africa Springboks beat England in the Rugby World Cup Finals. So good for you.
We really have to talk about the big question in gaming, and that's if WWE 2020 Escape from the Desert Kingdom will have loot boxes.
Well, they have to patch that in.
Yeah.
And I doubt they're going to patch that game. I think it's probably very true where the THQ, that 2K tanked that game on purpose so they can get rid of the license. Yeah.
I found the player. I just need to get her country here. Scarlett, Sasha Houston. She's from Canada. It's possible she's French-Canadian, though. I'd have to look deeper. That would explain the France thing you were thinking of. But she won a big tournament last year. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Overwatch Championship was over the weekend. There's the Mythic Dungeon stuff for WoW that had happened. I didn't really pay attention to those type of tournaments. I just paid attention to announcements. And their announcements for WoW looked fucking amazing with Sylvanas and going after the Lich King.
Yeah, there's a new expansion announced.
Yep.
Which I heard Shadowlands. The most recent expansion everybody hated. Which might have been part of the reason everybody was excited about WoW Classic was because the new expansion was garbage.
Partially. So basically Legion was one of their top expansions they put out. And Legion was played really fun. It was really neat to play. And they tried basically doing that again. But it just missed a little bit.
Hasn't that been for a while that they've alternated between a terrible expansion and a great expansion? And
so it's just like gone Star back Trek movies?
Yeah.
No, except for 1, 2, 3, 4 are good.
Yeah, but after then, we're on
Star Trek? Or?
Yeah, Star Trek.
1 through 4 and then 6 are all good.
Yes, okay, fair. I'll give you the motion picture. It's the 2001 of the Star Trek series.
The big thing is that you and I will both defend 3.
Yes. Yeah. 3 is fucking great. I will defend it as the Spock trilogy.
And I will defend the ideas in 5. It's a shame it's a bad movie because a lot of the ideas are really interesting.
It's
the concept of the villain and what he does and how he does it. And those are all really interesting ideas that deserved twice the budget and and half the studio interference. And maybe it would have been good.
Yeah, the studio interference was bad. Shatner, he's not that bad of a writer. He's done well enough to make some comic series and write some books. And his Tech War series is a series.
It exists. You can't take that away from it.
But
there must be words, somebody out words. There where Tech Wars is their favorite book series ever.
There's got
to
be.
They have to exist. It's like... I know he's Brian's friend. I'm not sure if he's how the social circle interacts, but his friend who the Wild Card series is the book series he cares about by George R. R. Martin.
And
he
doesn't
care. No, the other one, Ryan Beal.
Oh, yeah.
He loves the Wild Card books, and he does not give two shits about Game of Thrones. So he's the only person on the planet who's happy about the fact that there's been a dozen of those fucking Wild Card books while we've all been waiting for Winds of Winter.
Yeah.
Every time one of them comes out, he'll text me a picture of him buying it.
Really?
it's great! Because he knows. Yeah. I don't know if he still listens to us, but fuck
he does.
You.
He does. He gets really annoyed with me because he wants to watch this on YouTube. And so I have a backlog of almost 30 episodes that are on YouTube that I haven't made public yet because I haven't attached the preview image and attached all the text to it. But yeah, he hated it when I would throw up 5 or 6 at a time.
There's a picture he texted me of him holding the new Wild Card book. Just.
Well, we should do some more stuff with Ryan because he texted me.
I invited him to my board game group thing two Saturdays ago.
Yeah, he wants to get his Spirit Islands expansion for me that I was supposed to give to you when he was supposed to come up for your board game day. And this is great topic juice for our general public.
Obviously. I don't know, announcements-wise, if there's any other big events or conventions coming up anytime soon. I know we're not going to be podcasting next Sunday, just because I think we're all just busy doing stuff.
I could bring something.
Where are we going? There's a Warfare weekend this weekend.
As if there's more than one Warfare weekend? There's a Warfare weekend.
Well, there hasn't been a Warfare weekend yet.
Yeah,
but there is one this weekend.
Yeah.
This is the first inaugural.
There will be one.
Yeah, Warfare weekend.
I mean, I am hopeful that in the future we'll say one of the Warfare weekends was this weekend. But for now, I'll just say this weekend there is a Warfare weekend. Would you rather I'd say like the one and only Warfare weekend is this weekend?
Well, because currently that's true.
Well. This year, there's going to be only one Warfare weekend this year.
And it will be the only one that has happened, you know? But,
yeah,
I don't want to just say it's the only one ever. That would just be the height of pessimism or optimism, depending on how much you hate everyone involved.
I don't hate anybody.
Well, so you would consider it pessimism.
Yeah. I would too.
Andy, you don't hate anybody? I mean, well, then why are you here with Nathan and I that are noted misanthropes?
I don't hate you guys.
We just hate everybody.
Yeah.
Speaking of David and I, Andy, I have a question for you.
Oh, fuck.
I have a question for you.
Get ready.
Warfare Weekend is a great event down in St. Louis.
Twilight Imperium is going to be there. We've had a lot of signups, enough that I did need to make sure I had three sets because we're going to need to have three concurrent games going for at least one of the shifts. But yeah, good times, exciting stuff.
And then also Crippled System is sponsoring the painting competition alongside Griffin Roof Studios. Did I say Griffin Roof?
You did say.
Yeah.
Did you mean Roost?
Yeah. I'm glad I caught that. Griffin Roost Studios. I think it is just how it came out of my mouth.
Lance edited that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Andy.
I really like How to Train Your Dragon. It's a great film, and I'm very happy that we have Toothless here on the table. And I have an orange pen.
Andy, let's say that I put six boxes in front of you.
Okay.
And I say, and they're numbered 1 through 6. Whatever. Yep. And I say one of these boxes has like a key to a brand new car for you in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can either open box one box of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad example.
Can I GW this? Can I GW roll this? Like,
we'll do a die
roll. If I roll a 6, I automatically get a key. If I roll a 1, I don't get a key.
That's how we'll do because I fucked up with my analogy. So I'm going to give you a die.
Right.
Yep.
And you can either call that you're going to roll a 6, and if you roll the 6, you get the car.
Okay.
Or you can call that you're going to roll not a 6, and if you don't roll a 6, you'll get the car. So you can call either 6 or not a 6, and if you are right, you get the call.
I get a car.
You get the car. Yeah, okay. You get a car if you're right. You can either call 6 or any other number.
Okay.
So let's say, for the sake of argument, you decide to call that you're going to roll a 6.
All right, I'm going to roll a 6.
Okay. And let's...
Oh.
It came up 6. You were right.
Yes!
Did you make the correct call?
Yes, because I got it.
But you only had a 1 in 6 chance of getting it.
Yeah, but I called it.
So you are saying that because the result was what you called...
Uh-huh.
The fact that it was statistically unlikely
doesn't
matter. You would determine that you were correct to call the 6.
Yes.
Well, I think that means you're right.
Okay, I'll take it.
You'll take Andy disagreeing with you as evidence that you're right.
No, the thing is, was Andy disagreeing, or is Andy disagreeing with everything you were saying?
You agree with me.
Yeah, everything
you're saying. Because I said, if you got the result that you wanted, even if you chose the statistically unlikely one, you were correct because you got the result you wanted. David's point, and he is correct in this definition of it, is that the term the correct choice must be tied to the statistically more likely to give you the desired benefit outcome.
Well, specifically which the information specifically the information available at the
time. At the moment, you could choose six or not a six.
Yeah.
The correct call was not a six because it was vastly more likely.
Correct.
But after the die roll, it turns out that six was the correct call.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two different corrects. And the fact that people use the second correct to excuse being incorrect about the first correct is infuriating.
Yes.
You're like, you should have chosen not a six because it was way more likely. They're like, yeah, but I was right.
It was 5 out of 6. Derp, derp, derp. Yeah, basically my attitude about that was exactly what you didn't want to hear about. It's like, yeah, no, but I rolled a six though. It's like, but 5 out of 6 times, yeah, you're right there. It's like, no, but I rolled a six.
Yep. And so David's 100% correct that the correct decision is always to choose the 1 through 5, which if that's always the correct decision, then by definition, anytime you choose the 6, it was the incorrect decision.
Yes.
Yeah, but regardless, I rolled a 6.
Yes.
But if you're looking at result, the correct answer does not exist until you open that cat box.
Yeah, yeah. You open Schrodinger's box, and then you find out that there's no fucking cat.
Nope, it was rhetorical.
Yeah.
And just like Jonathan Swift, Schrodinger meant for that to be taken sarcastically. He was making fun of Heisenberg, and we refused to let that stand.
Yeah.
Well, we know that Heisenberg is a meth dealer, though, too.
Correct.
So,
but if you know...
Well, where, he didn't start off as a meth dealer, but he was a cook for a little bit, and then became a dealer.
Yeah. And Heisenberg, so to prevent being caught by the police, he would just constantly shout out how fast he was moving, and they could never see where he was. Mm. Come on.
I didn't remember that at all from the show.
Come on. Little physics humor for you.
Yeah, this was his career when he was a quantum physicist well before that.
The Heisenberg uncertainty principle is that you can only determine something's location or its velocity, never both at the same time. You can only observe one of those two things. And so if you know how fast something is moving, you do not know where it is. And if you know where something is, you do not know how fast it is moving.
What if you take a picture?
A picture doesn't tell you how fast it's moving.
But you can know how fast it's moving and then have a picture, and then you know exactly where it was and how fast it was going.
No, that's not what Heisenberg says.
Well, this only applies.
Agrees with you. Schrodinger thinks Heisenberg was a fucking idiot, and that's why he was like, "Oh, that's the dumbest thing I'd ever said." That's like saying if you had a cat in a box, burp, 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 and then everybody's like, "That's genius, Schrodinger." He's like, "No, it's not, you idiots." But it was too late.
But yeah, it only applies to very specific mathematical models, and I mean, effectively, it only works at the particle level. Although, I mean, there's a more generalized form of it that comes up in a lot of other weird cases. He says it shows up in electrical engineering a lot, and actually in graphics, because it's a consequence of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Has to do with anti-aliasing on video games, and it's interesting mathematically, and it's always interesting. I mean, one of the things I love about math is looking at how many different ways the same mathematical principle shows up, and one of the ways it shows up is like if you're trying to do manipulations of computer graphics on a pixel level, and like trying to detect patterns, the limit for the pattern you can detect across a series of pixels is directly related to the uncertainty principle.
Now let's go back a little further and talk about, I'm forgetting the name of the Greek philosopher. There's a lot of great Greek philosophy things that
Plato.
Are batshit insane.
Zeno's paradox?
But that arrows don't move.
That's Zeno's paradox.
Yeah, arrows don't move.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can never catch a turtle, no matter how fast you run. That's a different one.
I killed a bunch of turtles.
That's also Zeno's
today.
Paradox, though. So. Yeah, it's the same thing in different, different order.
No, I thought they were... either way, they're both dumb Greek shit that obviously is false, but they're like, they can prove it, but proving it doesn't make it true. They're like, you know, if you take any instant of time, so you shoot an arrow. If you pause time, that arrow's motionless.
Or you take a picture.
Sure. That arrow's motionless. in the picture that is taken a billionth of a second later, that arrow is motionless. In a picture taken a billionth of a second later, that arrow is motionless. Every single slice of time or picture of that arrow, it is motionless. Ergo, arrows do not move.
So if somebody's going to shoot you with an arrow, close your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, arrows don't move. Also, like, if you're chasing a turtle.
So the arrow is not there unless it's being observed?
It's there. It's arrow? Just not moving. So you always know where it is because it's never moving. Oh, no, because you don't. By knowing that it's never moving, you know what its velocity is, which is zero. And since you know what its velocity is, you don't know where it is. So that arrow could be anywhere because it's not moving.
It's hiding behind a door?
Yeah.
And if there's a turtle over there and you run to the turtle, by the time you get there, it'll have moved. And so now you have to move to the new place the turtle is. And by the time you get there, the turtle will have moved. And then you have to get to the new spot. And by the time you get there, the turtle will have moved. So you can never catch a turtle. Ergo.
My brain hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what spell this bothered me back in old second edition
D&D? I was just going to say, I mean, this is what people did before the internet. Sure. Sit around and think about shit like this.
No, hold on. No, I didn't do any of this when I was in the 80s. No, so second edition D&D, there's a spell that wizards have called Wall of Arrows. How does that work?
You stick them in the ground.
But I mean, it's like dimension, like determining on the level of the wizard is how wide and tall and deep the wall of arrows is.
Yeah, they're big arrows. Yeah, I mean, stuck
you can
in
make
ground.
A wall out of just about anything if you really
just
want
doesn't
to.
Make any sense to me.
I can make a little. If you give me, like, you know, I can just stick arrows in the ground around me. That's a wall.
Well,
if it's not tall enough. I'll stick arrows in the top of
those
arrows.
I was going to say that's kind of a fence, though.
Yeah,
and fence of arrows just doesn't sound as
if
exciting
I put them
as a spell.
Side to side, like, what's the difference between a fence and a wall?
It's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. What is the difference between a fence and a wall?
Is this going to end up something like a burrito is legally a sandwich in New York State?
Yeah, and Jaffa cakes aren't cakes.
What's a Jaffa cake?
It's a type of cookie they have in England, but it's called Jaffa cakes. And they have different import taxes on cakes and cookies, so they had to have a court case to determine whether Jaffa cakes are cakes.
Oh yeah, so, I think that was the decision of the judge was basically that a cookie goes soft when it gets stale, and a cake goes
hard.
When
yeah,
it gets
exactly.
Stale. Which may be the best legal opinion of all time.
So does that mean that I'm a cookie?
I mean,
how I get soft as I go stale.
Yeah, how stale are you?
I guess after I die, I get hard as I go stale because that's
no,
mortis.
No. You get hard for a little bit and then you
then
go
you
stale
soft again. I was making a penis joke, but now I'll just talk about like death.
Yeah, I wasn't making a penis joke. I was just talking about rigor mortis.
My own crippled system. Penis
yeah, you're right.
Death.
Those are both Xenos paradox. I thought they were two different things.
I just wrote down meth math, so.
Because if there's anything you can rely on ancient Greek philosophers for, it is arguing about the rules. I swear they must have been great in D&D.
So is there anything that you're looking forward to at Warfare Weekend to checking out other than Warfare or your
Twilight Inferium?
I can't fucking say it. Whatever. Your
Twilight Inferium.
Yeah. Are you wanting to check out maybe like if there's a... I think Atomic Mass Studios is going to be there to show off Crisis Protocol.
I mean, you know.
I mean, check out the demo of it, maybe.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the game looks fine.
Yeah. I just don't know if I'm really want to have another miniature game in my bucket.
It would be amazing if I picked it up and continued to avoid Guild Ball and started playing that instead.
Mm-hmm. I would be very...
Aren't you on the record that you won't pick it up because it has exploding dice?
Dan is very, very adamant about the exploding dice being I'm out. To me, the exploding dice definitely mean that it is a beer and pretzels non-competitive game. Like I would never play in a tournament of Crisis Protocol as long as that mechanic exists.
I would want at least the. I would want as entry to the tournament If anybody's bringing their own dice, is that there's a giant bucket,
sure,
of water, and everybody gets the same dice.
That's what I've been suggesting is that if you're running a serious competitive event, you should just call up ChessX ahead of time and get 1,000 dice printed and hand out dice to everybody.
That's what the Blood Bowl does for theirs. I mean, technically, lucky dice or weighted dice for Blood Bowl can be just catastrophic
that game,
for a team.
The dice hardly matter in Blood Bowl. That game's pure tactics and strategy. The dice never come up.
No, speaking of that, I would
say it's at least 30% tactics and strategy. The rest of it is dice luck.
Yeah, that's the odds you want in a tournament game. I will rewind and say I would play in a Crisis Protocol tournament, but I would definitely in my brain be treating it as bullshit I don't care about. And as long as everybody's on that page, you know what I mean? Like, I will enjoy a Blood Bowl tournament as long as my opponent realizes that he rolled a bunch of sixes and I rolled a bunch of ones and none of this matters. If I play a game against somebody, they're like, I'm the best, fuck yeah. It's like, really, buddy? You are definitely playing the wrong game.
I'm the best at mitigating failure, because that's basically what Blood Bowl is.
You're the best at having me fail. You're the best at having me roll triple skulls twice in a row. Aren't you great at this game?
I still love your first experience ever in video game Blood Bowl.
Yes, which was my first Blood Bowl experience ever. I had never played Blood Bowl ever.
I did not
play Blood Bowl again for a year and a half.
For those who don't know, so Nathan got Blood Bowl, the computer game,
which is
a side-by-side exact comparison to the tabletop game. And he created a wonderful Chaos team, mm-hmm. built a team. He had four Chaos Warriors. He had a Minotaur on it.
I had a Minotaur because I wanted a big dude.
Yeah.
But I'm not dumb.
Yep, correct.
I understand that there's death in this game, and I wanted to mitigate it, so I also bought an apothecary.
Yep.
I invested a lot of money in making sure that big guy stayed alive. Big guy and an apothecary.
At that time, I believe apothecaries basically made it, so if one of your players got injured, you would just roll a d6, and anything but a 1.
You re-roll your injury roll.
Was it the back then, though?
It was re-roll. Yes.
Okay.
Re-roll your injury roll.
Apothecaries used to be, they would just automatically go into the reserves.
Nope. It was re-roll the injury roll.
Okay.
And first game ever.
Yeah.
The kickoff.
Did you have any fan factor in your game?
I think I had a couple. Maybe. Yeah.
You bought cheerleaders?
I think I had a couple cheerleaders just because I had some money left over. Yeah. So the kickoff opening event was Throne Rock by the fans, which I don't know the odds of that happening. Somebody needs to work out the fucking odds of what's happening.
This is literally 11,
like one in multi-millions.
It's an 11 out of 12.
It's an 11 on a 2d6, which is not the same as 1 out of 12.
Correct.
Right. You know what I mean? So an 11 out of 2d6 is 2 out of 36, so it's there's only two possible...
Three. Or two.
Five and six.
No, you're right.
And
it's
five,
two.
Right?
It's two. Yeah.
So it's 1 in 18 there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Throne Rock.
Yep.
The rock was thrown at my team.
Well, you also had to have a die roll to see who had the rock thrown at him.
That's the thing. The rock was thrown at my team.
Yep.
So is that a 50-50?
Yeah.
So we're 1 out of 36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of the players on the pitch, it shows my Minotaur. Would you start with how many people on the pitch?
I think 11 players on the pitch.
So 36 times 11, so about 400. 396.
Yep.
It hit him.
Yep.
It broke armor.
It automatically breaks armor, so it goes straight to an injury roll.
Sure. Injury roll on him.
Which, to hurt a player, has to get above a 10. A 10 or above.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, there's 1, 2, 3.
6 out of 36.
6 out of 36. So now we're taking that 460, we're like 1 out of 2,400.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then the injury turned out to be a death.
Yep, and that's 1 out of 6.
Yeah.
So we're taking that 2,400 times 6, 18,000, whatever, 14, 15,000.
Yep.
So I re-rolled that death into a death.
Yep.
So that's like 1 in 100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my first. I didn't even play the game. I made a team. I pressed go. It was rock throw, team, kill, done. And I'm like, nope. And I uninstalled it, and I didn't play for a year and a half.
I will say,
and if my opponent's like, I'm so good at Blood Bowl, I will strangle him to death.
The noise that the throw in the rock makes, though, is very satisfying when it happens to the other team, though. Not your own, because it was like a shunk, and then blah.
But no, that's. I mean, that's also the other thing about Blood Bowl is it's not only that random on the game if you're on the individual game level. It gets even better in campaigns because it's like sure. I was playing Skaven in a campaign and it's like okay, and it's like I just rolled my second 11 in for leveling up this gutter runner and now he got his second plus one speed and so now I win forever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Andy and I were in a campaign that was being run by Devil Squid a few years back, and I was actually winning. I was undefeated, and then everybody just stopped playing their games.
Yeah.
I guess I won by default.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because some of the other people in the campaign I was playing did the objectively correct choice, which was they started putting a pool together real life money of who would get that would be the person that killed my fucking gutter runner.
Sure.
Yeah. Because well, as you know, for Blood Bowl, if a gutter runner or like a war dancer is ever laying down on the pitch, that person gets the boot.
Yeah.
They get fouled because. Especially war dancers. War dancers are the oh my god, they're really good fucking players in that game.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Blood Bowl. I enjoy it.
And again, it's fine. It's just a matter of understanding the nature of the game. You know, it's people who treat a tournament game as casual and people who treat a casual game as tournament. There's always going to be issues there.
I would say the resurrection mechanic that was a long time ago when it was brought into play for tournament play is the best way to go because you might have it, you know, otherwise you'd never play anything but a bashy team in tournament play because basically if you have like an elf team and you lose like six of your players,
yeah.
Next round those players come back for a resurrection style tournament.
Well, a tournament, yeah. I would just not treat it like a campaign. I would just treat each game as an individual game with no carryover of injuries or death.
Yeah.
That's what a resurrection style tournament was.
Yeah,
it used to be before that, before the resurrection style, it used to be each round was treated like an actual tournament game for Blood Bowl.
And then
campaign that you played all in a row yeah. in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll just go get drunk somewhere instead. Like, yeah. Why would I do that to myself?
Well, no, I mean, you don't necessarily have to play Basher. You could get away with Amazons.
They die in a fire, too, pretty quickly if you knock them over. Yeah, no, I mean...
Yeah. And then you get the people, like the guy I was talking about who was yelling at me because I wouldn't stand up when his Bashy team was just, you know, smacking my rats around. And I'm like, just score. You yeah. win.
Yep.
They'll stand up at the kickoff after you score.
Yep. And then you have all the blocks you can do, you know, chain blocks if you want to get them in there to knock my shit down. Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
My whole team was laying down and he had... a dwarf adjacent to every fucking one of them, and he was yelling at me because I wouldn't just stand up so he could punch me again.
Yeah, no.
Like, no!
No. No,
you're not playing it right.
If you want to knock my guy down, and if you want star player points, then you gotta punch him right. You can kick him, but you don't yeah. get star player
it's
points.
Like, you can punch my guys again mm-hmm. when you score your touchdown, mm-hmm. and they all stand back up.
Yep, and I will also dodge all my guys away, so I'll hopefully fail my dodge check.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect? I was going to blitz with one guy a turn.
Yeah.
Give up, you know. And,
into four tackle zones, so yeah. you're rolling three and dice versus my... Yeah.
The rest would just stand up and give him free two dice blocks on me. That's legit what he thought was the correct thing for me to do.
No.
Because I was ruining the game for him by not letting him just beat the shit out of my players.
No.
In a yeah. campaign game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I can ever play an actual campaign version of Blood Bowl.
Well, you have to pay. You it only works if you're playing a campaign with people you actually know. That because
no, sometimes that hurts friendships too.
I mean, again, it's just a matter of whether or not you care, right? And yeah. the real issue with campaign games, though, is like if game two you just have bad luck and three of your players die, you're never gonna win.
Yeah,
you're just fucked. And now you're obligated to show up and try, which isn't going to be an enjoyable game for you because you're raw fucked.
But yeah, because the inducements don't really they don't really counteract the loss of players for the game.
Yeah, and
basically your team rating.
And they
is
don't
lower.
Help. And they don't help you level your character your players correct. Up enough.
Yeah, because even if you do an inducement of like getting a like you could argue that oh no like you know if you're down by 100K and then you just get a star player that costs 100K and that's even now even if mathematically it is correct mm-hmm. that they were induced were the correct price, every touchdown that star player makes isn't helping your team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every you know, every star point that goes to that player is just taken away from you.
Yep.
And then you get more inducements the next game because you're further behind.
I guess the only, in theory, way it could go is like some kind of socialist style thing where any star player points that a star player that you hired get like randomly given to your team.
Or yeah, you could maybe
almost
build
like
a,
the MVP style.
Kind of, yeah, kind of. Yeah. Oh, I also hate chosen MVP more than anything in the world.
Chosen MVP, no, that's
no. It should always be random. That fucker that sat on the bench the entire game, who only saw play on the very last turn of the game.
The fans love him. It's like Rudy.
Yeah,
Rudy.
The best part of that, I may have mentioned this before. I was playing a league game. I was playing undead because you know you gotta have undead. I killed my opponent's one of his line rats, and then I resurrected him as a zombie on my team. And lo and behold, when the MVP was drawn, it was the line rat that died.
That's hilarious.
And then the zombie that I resurrected. So he had two MVPs that game. Two-time MVP.
I don't remember why I did it, because it's a big dick move. But maybe I was just pissed at my opponent and just decided, fuck him. But in the campaign that we were playing that mm-hmm. stopped going, I turn 16 fouled a guy.
Oh,
bottom yeah. of turn 16. Like the my opponent didn't get another turn. Yeah. So it's the last action of the entire game. I fouled a guy, which is a dick move.
Yeah.
Huge dick
you
move.
You get nothing for it.
Nope. I got a free rotter because I killed him.
Oh. I guess you
massive
guess,
dick move.
I guess the undead and rotters get something for following somebody, but yeah. not. But you get a shitty guy who if he gets hurt, he has to roll two injuries.
Yeah, well, that guy got fucked for the remainder of the campaign.
Yeah.
So that was one of the meanest things I've ever done in a game. There was no reason to do it.
Well, I mean, in one campaign, I was playing against somebody that was actually trying to give a serious go with halflings, and that doesn't end up well.
Nope.
It can run okay, but you run into
when
like,
you're living the dream, you know.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, I scored a one turn goal, and like half my team is dead now.
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah, literally, it's like the second turn of the game. I was playing Chaos, which is because I normally play
they're
Chaos.
One of the good teams.
Yeah, they're one of the good teams.
Good teams and fun teams.
Yeah,
right.
And, good team as in like because they're noble and pure.
Yeah, yes, sure. Let's yes, go with yes, that. That works. But yeah, I was playing Chaos, and I wasn't even. I mean, it's like okay, it's like this just isn't going to be fun if I just squish him.
Well,
I wasn't even trying. It's like okay, I've got a block here, and it's like I got the ball to my guy that I was planning to mutate to be a ball carrier, sure. And started having him running around, and then so he has four of his halflings try to break tackles to go in and to go in and engage my ball carrier, and as he is moving them out, three of them die. Three of them fail their dodge rolls and get killed. And it's like in one turn, on his turn, three of his players died. And it was like, I wasn't even trying.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're coaching a halfling team, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, I've got all these guys in the Pee Wee Football League, and we're going to go straight into the NFL.
Yeah, like when I did play again on the PC one, I like to have one good team and one crap team, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just for fun. And the AI in that computer is not particularly the best.
No.
And,
no.
I mean, it's not. I've definitely seen worse. Definitely seen worse. I could tell stories about when the original Axis and Allies PC game came out in the late 90s. Holy shit.
Oh, I'm sure that's... Yeah.
The UK player would build dozens of tanks in Canada and just move them back and forth for the entire game and just building more of them. It's like, what are, what? Why? Anyway, so, yeah, no, so in that situation, I did a campaign mode of that whole game with a halfling team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you could beat the, you yeah. can win with halflings when your opponents suck. Yeah, it's fun.
I distinctly enjoy throwing halflings at other players.
That used to be a rule in Dungeons & Dragons. It's not in 5th Ed anymore.
Oh.
The fastball special.
No. Yeah. Well, maybe we should start up a crippled system Blood Bowl thing.
Yeah, campaign might not be too bad if...
Will there be a two-drink minimum?
Before every game, you have to take two shots? Photographic evidence of two shots being taken? And I have to make sure it's not. Well, I guess if people are sucking down maple syrup, I guess that's okay too.
No, you're doing it wrong. It isn't two drinks before the game. You need to do it like your guy's game of zombie, and it needs to be like every time you roll a one, take
our,
a shot.
Our New Year's episode of zombies was really right. really bad.
So we can play Blood Bowl where every one you roll, you take a shot. Every double skull you roll, you take a shot.
When I get that, triple skulls, that's a pint. Just you have to down a pint of alcohol. Yeah. Once I get the Chaos Cup board here, because that should be coming up at near the end of November, I think. Yeah. That's when we're going to try to get that. We could stream it, too.
Yeah.
We can get a face cam. Basically, just have a camera that's mounted on our chest. That's just our, so you could just see us taking shots right there.
Sure.
Just have beard-mounted GoPros.
Yeah.
Yeah. But chest mount, it's just the beard is in front of it because it's facing forward. So it's like watching everything through a curtain. Like how sheepdogs must see the world.
Yeah. Fucking A. How do dogs do that? Like Jim's dogs. Like Sammy, Jim's got two wire haired terriers.
Two little yappy dogs.
Yeah. But I have no idea how they see. No. One's already blind anyway and then has the. The hair in front of his eyes. Oh, yeah. That was a long conversation about Blood Bowl. It's amazing. Ooh,
let's talk about how my cock is changing.
No, I don't need to hear that.
But my cock is getting bigger. Yeah, there's an old man on it now.
It's only getting
there's
a couple
old
things.
Men on it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are either of them still old men? I mean, they once were. They're definitely old. They get more and more old and less man.
Would you consider like Nixon from Futurama super old?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's over 1,000 years old.
Is it 1,000 years? I thought it was only 500 years.
No, it's 1,000.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah. Easy math. Bing. Yeah. Change the digit.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I was going to say something else.
I don't know. The point is I'm excited about how my cock is growing and changing.
So, sure. So what is the deal with Nemo other than he's one of those chocolate oranges now?
He's a super junior warcaster, which I think that's not a thing until now.
Wait, Nemo is? I thought it was just, I know Asphyxius is. Nemo
both of them
is,
are.
Oh, okay.
They are both junior warcaster units, although Asphyxius is a unit that activates all as a unit. Nemo is a junior that comes with a unit.
Yeah.
So it can activate independently of him.
Oh, these are the new convergence stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was.
I didn't know if Nemo was an actual.
Can they still play for their
normal factions? They can play for their normal. I think Nemo. I know that Asphyxius is Crick's convergence mercenary. He can be taken in all three. And his battle group can contain all three different types of jacks, regardless of which of those three he's in.
He's partisan cock and partisan.
Is what they were
fucking
saying.
Manglers?
Like in Convergence, he could bring a mangler and a seether. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I believe that Nemo's the same way. And again, this is leak pre full thing. This is from
before,
their dev
before
thing.
CID.
Yeah, this is in their dev thing. So the full CID comes out later this week, and obviously stuff can change during the CID. But from the dev stream, I believe it was the case for both of them, because I think that Nemo is Signar, Mercenary, Convergence, and can mix and match all three within his battle group. So you can have, you know, Asphyxius, who he has the, it's not Synergy, it's spend his focus while the Jack's base to base, the Jack's using it. Mm-hmm. What's that called?
Oh, that's something that Mort never has.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Anyway, he has that, and I'm thinking that shit with a... If he's base-to-base in the back end of a Prime Axiom that drags somebody in, and he has Battle Group Dark Shroud, so you're Prime Axiom with 5 focus, with 8 focus,
it's not
right?
Focus Matrix, because that's Nemo's.
Yeah,
thing.
It's like recalibrated. No, her feet was recalibrated. Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Somebody in chat might tell us. But anyway, so you can have your main caster's corollary... Give 3 focus to that Prime Axiom, or it can just be inducted over. Then it can be base to base with him. So this dark shrouded Prime Axiom will drag something in and punch it 9 times, 10 times, 11 times.
Yeah.
Because it will get the drag initial, 2 initials, the 3 focus it spends, and the 5 focus. And if it hits it with its other drag. Yeah, because part of that's with if it's with it's in theory, and so it gets all the initials. The point is. My cock got very big when my cock got bigger.
I'm just thinking, it's like for mercenary warjacks, I would I would probably argue that the Mangler is probably one of the best mercenary warjacks that's not attached to a faction.
I do like the Toro. Mangler a lot.
The Toro Toro's is really good. The Blockader is really good.
Mercenaries have some decent jacks.
But the Blockader is a colossal, though. I mean, yeah. But I mean, you can't really
put a colossal on a. You can put a colossal on a junior.
It's risky.
Yeah, it's risky though.
I mean,
a five focus junior can.
Yeah, because I mean that. I mean
it's
the
got a 10-inch control range. Holy shit!
Yeah, I run Sevi Zero. It's awesome. Yeah. Except, I'm assuming Nemo and Gaspy are going to have solid defensive stats.
Probably.
But yeah, I mean, with a blockader, you can run two powder monkeys, so you can fuel up the blockader and then draw the five off of Gaspy, and he can clear an entire zone. Just clear an entire zone of heavies by himself.
Yup. Just the ability to mix and match the jacks is really neat. And going the other way around, too. Like, in theory, bringing your Prime Axiom into your Crix list.
Yeah.
Right? You know? Crippling Grasp something and watch the Prime Axiom wreck its shit.
Or, yeah, just... Because, Gatsby's a zero then. So then, yeah, so you could bring Denegra 1 in there with... Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Weird.
Neat stuff. Now, the big thing that people are going to fuck up is that you can't bring a corollary because you can't attach to juniors because
yeah,
they're not warcasters.
Yeah, it's not a warcaster.
So
yeah.
Watch out, people. Don't cheat.
And they're technical juniors, so you won't have to worry about them in Who's the Boss.
Correct.
If I ever run
Unless
Who's
they go
the
on
boss.
The bankrupt. Is bankrupt up to 10 guys now?
No, bankrupt
just
is still,
adding more juniors.
Bankrupt is still the five.
Okay.
I really don't want to deal with... Originally, I was going to go with like a bankruptcy hordes, bankruptcy war machine, but there's not enough lesser warlocks.
Sure.
I think Legion is the only one that doesn't have technically a lesser warlock.
Legion has a lesser, the Beast Mistress. She's just not a character.
She has a non-character lesser warlock.
She's a non-character, and maybe at the time when I was originally thinking about it, she doesn't have her own focus stat.
Isn't she the only one?
Hmm.
Like, because what do the other three factions have lesser warlocks?
Una 1, Zadesh 1, and
I forgot they
exist. Just the troll. Horrible one.
Yeah.
It was because what's her name? Fauna of the Lash was not a caster,
right? Back when the Beast Mistress was. So they had a character solo and a non-character lesser warlock.
And I think she didn't even work like an actual warlock at all. She was
she's a lesser. She just
she's
has,
exactly
you
like
can
her,
only,
she
you can just only take lesser war beasts with her.
Okay,
which in Mark 3 means she's basically unplayable.
Yeah, because Legion lessers are all.
Yeah. I mean, basically,
I didn't say shit, but I just made the noise of it.
A farty noise.
I mean, in Mark 3, Legion Lessers basically exist when you want to just take a colossal, but you need to have something else to leech fury off of.
Legion Lessers exist because you played Thagrosh.
Okay, I'll accept that too.
you hit me, a lesser popped out. Let me dig through my bag.
I mean, I got
one in here somewhere. Blow the dust off of it.
I guess he spit out Harriers now. Harriers and Stingers, I guess they're probably the two that are the betters. Too bad you can't spit out the swarms. He's just like, you hit Thagrosh, you just spit out a whole swarm of bees or the wasps.
You can send out one wasp now.
Yeah, because now they're just lessers.
Yeah.
Are they official just lesser
lessers?
Yeah,
they got rid of war beast packs, and now they're just lesser war beasts.
Okay.
But I'm excited about Convergence CID.
So do we know anything that Nemo does other than it occupies a huge base?
Yeah, I can find some stats. Vamp for time.
So how come I see for Nemo 4 everyone just posting like pictures of like the pod that's for StarCraft?
Because that's what he looks like.
That's what he looks like.
That's what he looks like. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Unicron was my first thought. Unicron in planet form was my first thought when I saw him. And then somebody posted a picture of the chocolate oranges,
Terry's
which is
chocolate
even
orange,
better.
Yeah,
which is even better.
He said, "I got Nemo inbox." It's just Terry's chocolate orange.
I mean, I don't know if he really looks like the. Oh man, what can I not think of the the worker thing for in StarCraft.
Yeah.
What are they called?
You can play it in Heroes of the Storm and everything.
Yeah. He's probe. Amazing in the probe. Nope. Well, he's called Proby, I think.
There's a character version is the one that's in, yeah, Heroes of the Storm. All right, Nemo 4, Battle Engine Super Junior Warcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the stuff from his...
he's a huge base, so he's got to have shit stats. He's got to have worse than old man stats.
I mean, probably his armor is probably higher than... Yeah. Well, I mean, he's in a mechanical thing. You know, my guess would be something like a 10-18 or something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, Gaspy was also a 14-point unit. I'm assuming Nemo is going to be enough points that it's justifiable that he has good stats.
16 points.
Yeah.
30 damage, 5 focus, armor 18. So, yep, I was right about the armor 18. My guess, yeah.
He's got to be at least 10 or 9, potentially.
Yeah, he's non-flying.
He could possibly be 12, maybe.
If he's 12, 18 with 30 boxes and 5 focus, you just literally can't kill him. Like, don't even try.
Defense troll is not too hard to hit.
Yeah, but, I mean, like... Anyway, 16 points, 30 damage, 5 focus, armor 18, non-flying. He is a sentient gate. His machine has Nemo's consciousness and soul. He bends reality, which is 2 abilities. He can fold space or do spatial vortex. I don't know if either of those are things that we know what those mean. He has the open the gate ability from the Well of Ouroboros, which is where you can summon a solo of 5 points or less. I'm super excited about that because my current convergence list with Locke is in... the infantry theme force only to let me take the Frustum Locust because that model is fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. With this, I could run Destruction Initiative instead and just summon one of those.
Oh, Frustum Locust is only 5 points?
It's 4 points.
What?
It is a 4-point magical hand cannon with Dispel that can boost.
What?
Yeah, it's really good.
How is that thing only... Oh, my God.
It's because I was playing against Rick, and he had a Throlg, and I'm just thinking, this thing is 2/3 the cost of your Throlg.
I'm sorry, a what? It's a
boostable hand cannon.
What did he have?
Yeah, you heard me.
No, it is a Throlg. Gee, he is gangster. You see that hand out there like
that? You know, he's
giving you a sign.
The Thrustum Locust is way more gangster than that guy. Thrusting Locust. Yeah. Anyway... So this thing can summon a thing. So like I said, I'm excited because then I can play Destruction Initiative and still get my Dildo Spider in there.
Is that once a game or once a turn?
Once a game.
It's once a game.
Okay.
Yeah, free 5-point solo once a game. It's a Mercenary Battle Engine, Partisan Signar, and Partisan Convergence.
So the way Partisan works is that it is that faction if it's in a list of that faction.
Correct. So he is always friendly faction.
Well, the question is if
not mercs,
but if he's in,
Oh, he is a merc. He's a merc
who's Partisan Convergence and Partisan Signar. So in any 3 of those factions, he is friendly faction.
Right. Yeah. But so you can't take him in a convergence list, summon a Signar Junior, and then have the Signar Junior buff him.
Probably not, because Open the Gate almost certainly says faction, which means that he cannot do that. Correct.
Okay. Oh. So then, can he open the gate mercs in either list then?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Because we'd have to look at. I mean, pull up. I'm one of you pull right up now. The. Yeah. Okay. Pull up and see the wording on that. My guess is it says faction.
Okay.
And partisan, I don't believe is be both. It is you are only Signar and you are not Merc.
Okay.
Which means he couldn't. But you could double check that.
And Open the Gate doesn't care about field allocation, does it? So if you take him in Signar, you can come out. You can pop out a second junior.
I don't know.
Which seems pretty good.
All right,
he's getting there. He's getting in the wall. Yeah. While he's doing that, he can take all 3 faction jacks, just mix and match them. Non-character Signar, except he can take character Signar if they're the ones that have Nemo Bond, you know, which is pretty standard stuff.
Friendly non-character faction solo.
Okay. Now look up Partisan. You don't need to look up Partisan. I'm pretty sure Partisan strips away Mercenary. You are only the thing. So you can't... but it does not say... It doesn't care about feeling on. So he could get you a second junior in Signar based on that.
Which seems pretty decent.
Yeah. Because you can get a free junior that you didn't need to pay for a jack.
Yeah.
So even a first junior... Like, if you're taking him, take one fewer junior than your list normally takes. Although two juniors seems really fucking good.
Yeah.
But that first junior paid jack tax.
Yeah, but I mean, you're playing Signar. The junior has a Firefly that you'd want anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. If it's a jack that you'd want anyway.
Yeah.
So, when included in faction army, this model is a faction model instead of
instead of a mercenary
yep. model.
So,
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he in a Convergence army you couldn't summon a Signar shit.
Right. He has three spells. It doesn't say what the spells are though. Its gun is D3+1 electrical.
Oh, I did hear that he's got like all the guns.
It's
as well.
D3+1, so 2 to 4 shots. He has a unit that activates separately. They can each of them can give his gun signs importance or give him a focus that can go above his limit of 5. So you know,
this gun's really good.
Signs importance on those guns sounds fucking stupid.
And he comes with an extra scoring unit.
And Asphyxius 4 is also a unit. His go together with him. It's got 3 servers. He can poop out a new one every turn like Mom does as long as, you know, if he's below. Him, his servitors, and his Warjacks all have Dark Shroud. Interface is the ability that Morden ever has that he has.
Mm-hmm.
14 points, Def 15, Armor 17, 18 boxes, Caustic Mist.
Does it say how fast he is? Because that's the only issue with Morden Ebra is that she really never gets to use Interface because it's hard for her to get into position for the Jack to use it because generally the Jack has to move first.
Yep.
Maybe it could be something that they're attached and just dragged along.
That'd Interface be... I used with her with like range Jacks when I was playing Crix, like a Leviathan or a Harrower. Yep. I liked, but yes, Caustic Mist.
Also a very annoying rule to rewrite into Who's the Boss.
Yes.
Because in Who's the Boss, if she's working as a warlock, then you get to remove Fury off the beast for every Fury that you spend off of her.
Is that even? Because to me, if you wanted to keep it functionally correct, I would say that a war beast that's base to base with her could spend her Fury instead of forcing.
I like Andy's
version better. It forces her, not the beast.
No, but she's still spending Fury, but he's spending it off of her.
Remove Fury from her.
Remove Fury from
it
her.
It wants to buy an attack and it spends one of hers. Correct.
Yeah. So I mean that we're thinking the same way. Just we worded it differently.
They buffed a bunch of stuff that needed to be buffed. The theme force allows you to take more Nebra, which is neat.
No.
More Nebra 1 and 2, so I need to look at them and see if either of them are good. I glanced at more Nebra 1, and she seems trash because her Darylus doesn't have Spell Slave, which he had back when I played Crix, and instead he has some garbage abilities that are crap.
She took a little hit from Mark III and hasn't. I don't think she's really changed up until now.
Yeah.
Morden Ebra 2 is kind of neat, if I remember correctly. But again, has that that Crix text with her, where you know there's so many other better. They have so many good casters.
The theme force I actually didn't look in depth. I didn't see this is also interesting. So the theme force is. There's only 4 casters allowed with it. Aurora 1, Aurora 2, Morden Ebra 1, or Morden Ebra 2. It can bring Nemo and Asphyxius, the Lessers. It can bring Angel units, Convergent Solos, and Thrall units.
Yeah, but not the ones that I like.
I don't know. What one do you like?
I was going to say, I mean, Thrall units is a whole lot less interesting if you're not in Black Industries and can ambush one of them.
Oh, yeah? Are Thralls not good anymore? Bane Thralls not good?
Bane Thralls don't exist.
Oh, you're right. They're Bane Warriors.
If it was Bane, if you could take a unit of Bane Thralls, that would be pretty cool.
I forgot they're not Bane Thralls anymore.
Well, no, then again, because Bane Warriors aren't terribly good outside of the theme anyway, because they lose Prowl.
So what are Thralls? Just Bile and McKenna?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Isn't Drudges. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Drudges for the Cephalix. I'm hoping that whatever, because they have they even hinted anything what's going to be the new race or the new faction for Lock and Load?
No.
It's Warcaster, the new game.
Warcaster's not, I thought that was going to be. Was that going to be at Lock and Load next year?
It's going to be announced at Lock and Load.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
it's going to be unveiled or something.
At it's
going to
be announced.
Sorry, it has been announced. It is going. There is not a new faction next year. The new thing next year is Warcaster.
Oh, okay.
Side note: in the Theme Force, the more members can also do all three faction jacks mix and match in their battle group.
Oh,
so more never could have Convergence Mercenary and Crix jacks.
Oh, I want more Manglers.
With the new Jack Marshall rules, I am excited to put a Mangler on Rulik because Manglers are nice in Minions.
Mm-hmm. Just the Reach Jack, and it's a cheap Jack too.
Reach Thresher, you can do the +2 to all attacks and do that Thresher, you can do the free charge and buy.
Yeah,
you know, it's good stuff. Look at that. We talked about War Machine on a War Machine podcast. No, like big boys.
Yeah, now I'm interested in doing Striker 3 with Nemo 4. So you can have Arcane Shield on both of your Storm Lances.
No.
Yes.
What you want to do, does Striker 1 have Arcane Shield?
Yes.
So you want to do Striker 1 with 2 juniors, so you have Arcane Shield on 3 things and your feet turn.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
Blah.
I mean, Nick already plays that with 2 Arcane Shield, so it'll just get better.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so you just include Nemo 4 in his list then? Yeah. And then randomly summon in another fucking junior.
Him summoning a junior is... That's kind of dumb.
I mean, this is just going to make it even more fun because, like, you can play Haley 3 and Gravedigger, so you can, because the summon doesn't respect theme limitations, so you can pop a junior out and then have the junior buff Haley, which is pretty nice.
Well, yeah,
this
Haley's
is problematic.
We're running into issues here. Well, the thing is, though, it'll make all the Signar forums happy. No, it won't actually.
nothing will make the Signar forums happy.
Oh God, yeah. No, the junior's going to be problematic. Great. They need to make the junior 6 points. Make him 6 points with a 1 point discount on the first jack you put on him.
No, just make it so you can't summon him because generally they need a battle group.
Just but how do you make that?
But that's
a thing?
List. That's a list construction. That's a list construction requirement, not an in-game requirement.
Just make a rule onto Nemo 4 that just says no junior. No journeyman Warcaster. Or something. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly,
make them cost 6 points. They should cost 6 points.
Are they 4 points anyway?
They're 4 points.
They're four? They're not even five. Because I was going to say lower the jack tax. Fuck you. You're going to take that Firefly anyway. Some asshole told me that.
Yeah, basically.
4 points?
Yeah.
You're talking about how good the dick spider is for 4 points, and they're taking goddamn juniors for 4 points?
I didn't call it a dick spider.
I called it a dick spider. It's the pious
dick spider.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
4 points?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good models. Value.
Fuck you. Oh, my Lord. Just take Arcane Shield off of those assholes.
You know, that was one of the things I was really surprised that didn't happen in the transition to Mark III, because having Arcane Shield on the junior legitimately always felt to me like a huge roadblock for the design space of Signar, that everything has to be designed around Arcane Shield on a stick, and they left Arcane Shield on a stick.
Didn't they take off, off of the Crix caster attachment solo dude that everyone took? Scarlox.
Yeah.
Didn't they fuck them over?
Well, because Spellslave can't cast upkeeps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even then, it was just a free casting of the upkeep. You didn't have a second copy or a copy of a spell that your caster didn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. The junior having Arcane Shield is just stupid.
Maybe like a weaker version of Arcane Shield. Maybe something that gives like an extra +1 armor to show off his still learning the abilities.
What is a battle group only armor buff? Like, is there something like Forced Evo but for armor, basically, where it's target member of this battle group gets +2 armor and some other shit?
Yeah.
You know, like
maybe change Arcane Shield.
There's like a Kador one.
Yeah, there's one that's its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's on what's her name, McKay, who I play. It's failsafe.
Yeah, it's like plus two armor and choose the location.
Or it's plus two armor and ignore crippled
systems.
Give him
that. Give him that.
Like, there's a spell that ignores us? Shit.
Everybody should do that.
Yeah.
Or couldn't you do it where, like, within his aura? Because that way he's also in the action.
I mean, you can do a lot of things. I'm just surprised.
Cast that and then run to your deployment zone.
Well, I was going to say is, like, you could make it so instead of Arcane Shield, it would be kind of like a tenacity, an aura tenacity for models that are within his control area.
You could. Yeah. That could work.
There are a lot of things they can do. As I said, I'm just surprised that they didn't take that spell off of him in Mark III because it was a big limitation for how Signar was going to be designed.
Yeah.
Effectively, what they did for that in Mark III was took him out, or in the initial theme design, he wasn't in Grave Diggers, which for a while was Signar's strongest theme. Although I think Heavy Metal may be stronger, Heavy Metal and Storm Division may be stronger now.
Maybe make it so the whatever the summon model is does adhere to.
Yeah, the card is going to get too long.
That'll be really and that'll just be tough to. Legislate in
will it be? It'll be basically like
just I mean, but even for the summon the gate thing, like you could fix that, but I agree with David, as I so rarely do, that from a wider design space hashtag take a shot method. What's the word I'm looking for? Not method, point of view. Perspective, thank you. Mm-hmm. From a design space perspective, it has to go. Like, they should not have Arcane Shield. The aura would be a good solution. I think that if the idea was that he would buff his Jack, that Redline definitely would work as a replacement for Arcane Shield. But it's really stupid how much that model warps that entire faction.
Yeah.
Yeah. It basically, he's almost wherever he can possibly go in, he's going in no matter what. He is a must take model.
Yeah. And them. They can't, you know.
And I'm sorry for Signar players. We're not shitting on them.
We're not shitting on them. Your faction would probably be better if they did this because then they wouldn't have to design around him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the design space aspect.
Yeah, I mean, the problem right now is that if you took Arcane Shield off of him, you'd basically have to redesign half of Signar because everything that's not Gravediggers would need an adjustment.
Yeah.
Give the entire fucking faction plus one armor and give him failsafe instead of Arcane Shield.
Sure.
Call it done.
Yeah.
I bet they'd be happy with that.
So Arcane Shield is plus three armor.
Plus
right?
three armor.
Yeah.
On one model unit.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have two of those in every list.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Turn run. I'm going to shit out a junior. Blah. Oh, look. He's all fully grown. Look at him. He looks just like me.
Do you still have it up? Can you activate that first time when he's out there? Does he have to forfeit movement or action?
He has
to
forfeit action, but spell casting.
Spells don't count for that. Yeah. Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if they do change the open the gate as well, because they didn't run into this issue with Circle, because the only junior that Circle can play is a character.
Sure.
So the idea that you can put in.
Yeah, I mean, what do? You either say you cannot summon something with
a non-character solo without the battle group commander.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a reasonable.
That's a couple words to the sentence. I mean, that's not too bad.
Or it's fair and balanced if you let me summon Signar Juniors into Convergence and have them also be partisan.
No.
Then no, they won't be partisan, nope, but they could put only on faction.
Nope.
Friendly faction.
No.
Only friendly faction for Arcane Shield.
Let him summon all
three factions. Already that way.
Take away the partisan rule and just make him be mercenary Signar Convergence all in the line. No partisan. He's just always all three. And so he can summon the gate any one model from any of those three factions into any list in any of those three factions.
Yeah.
That's design space, baby.
Yep. Everybody needs... Yeah, take off the character restriction while you're at it.
Yeah. Anyway,
it'll be fun. I mean, realistically, I think how good that is on the table, because 16 points is a lot of points, is going to depend heavily on how good Nemo's gun is.
Well, it also depends on how good his spells are.
Yeah, how good his spell, how good his spells,
because you're spending
his guns.
16 points for a second junior and a D3 plus one electrical gun.
Yeah. Also, for the super juniors, do they have the battle group requirement or not?
They didn't say in the list.
I haven't, I mean, people have been, I have seen people talk as if they didn't, but they did not mention them
having it, but there's no such thing as a super junior up
right.
to this point.
Yeah.
So we don't know what that term means. If it's just something that Hungerford was pooping out of his mouth, that doesn't mean anything. We won't know until Wednesday, I think. Yeah. The 6th Wednesday.
Cause I think those guys depend on a lot of things. Journeyman Warcaster, because it's a special rule that's on them itself. Is the battle group controller is that rule? So if they actually have battle group controller in there, then yes, then they have to have a battle group thing on there.
But that's only. But I mean, that's only. The battle group controller only applies to list design, because if you gate him in,
we're talking about Nemo and Gatsby.
If they have
battle group controller, then that's. Then in order for them to be in the list, they got to have some jacks with them or whatever they need have for their battle group.
Which at that point may make it, you're going to run into issues with getting everything you want in the list. And so, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on how much value is from the 12 points left over of Nemo, because you get the 4 points, whether it's a junior or a dick spider.
Yeah. I'll say this though, for just anybody who's interested in still playing War Machine Hordes and wants to play it, you should make sure you participate in the CIDs. Just because you normally play Kador doesn't mean that you shouldn't help your friends that are doing Signar to test them and to run into them. We don't need to have a ton of really Convergence players, Crix players, and Signar players
and
be the
players.
only ones participating in the CID. We need to have everybody
piggybacking on that. And more importantly to me, I mean, that's definitely true, but regardless of what faction you play, whether you are a, let's simplify and say this is just Convergence, okay?
Okay.
None of these are Signar Merc stuff. We're just looking at Convergence.
We're talking about nothing but cock right now.
Right. We're just talking about cock. If you love playing with your cock, if there's something that makes your cock too good, let them know that it makes your cock too good.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you are on the receiving end of somebody's cock and there's something that you think isn't making their cock hit you as hard as it could hit you, let them know ways that their cock could be better. This is getting harder to talk in code. The point is, Convergence players are allowed to call for nerfs, and non-Convergence players are allowed to call for buffs. The CID isn't an opportunity for you to win at having the best faction. It's an opportunity to make sure your faction is fair and balanced, and everybody should be aiming for that same fair and balanced hashtag,
correct,
regardless of whether they play that faction or not.
Yes.
And if everybody treated the CIDs that way, where you said, this is really broken, this should not be this good, I love that it's this good. You know, like I remember the last, when Locke came out, holy friggity-doo, as a Convergence player, that first edition of Locke was just untenably good.
Yeah.
And I told them that. I'm like, this is too good. Like, I love it. I'm having fun. Please dial it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, each level of the CID is a process. So technically, models that might come out second week and they might not be as good as what they were first week. It's not a nerf. They are building everything in a design space.
And sometimes they test extremes. Like,
correct,
week one might be too good and week two is too bad, and they're looking for that Goldilocks.
Yep.
Or they can give them something that's way too good to see theoretical what the effect is, to stress test to see what the correct level would be.
Yes.
Like, your week one version isn't necessarily it's not like Privateer Press thinks they're perfect at that level,
correct,
and they're ready to release and they're just double checking. They might know week one that this stuff is bad.
Yeah.
But they want to see if you agree with how it's bad.
When you go to the restaurant and then they serve you a completely just raw meat hamburger.
Loving it.
Yeah, you're like, no, I want this to be cooked a little bit. So, I like my raw meat burgers too. They're good, but they're
cannibal sandwich,
potentially really dangerous.
Well, yeah, if you're at like a truck stop,
That's true. You don't want to eat cannibal sandwiches at a truck stop.
No.
But no, I mean, you gotta work with the cooks a little bit. I mean, they may present something that's like too amazing. You're like, no, I just take this back a little bit. But or
I don't think this metaphor works with being served food.
No, yeah, I'm really hungry right now. So
maybe they'll bring your food and they know it's really bad and they just want to see if you agree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like this sandwich is 5% shit.
Waiter, somehow, there's a shit in my soup. Ah, you noticed. I'm so glad.
and somehow we veered into intestinal parasites. I'm not sure. And we weren't even talking about Legion.
It's a great way to lose weight from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah. People used to swallow tapeworms on purpose.
Yep.
It works really well until you have to remove it.
Yes. Yeah.
Zappity.
We have a couple of those. I didn't make an announcement on the Facebooks or that, so we only really have the two Zappities that are in the chats.
No, I saw somebody. I had a thing. Thing come up. I thought I
did. Somebody make a post on the walls.
I thought I. Maybe it was just an unrelated message. I don't know. You read the ones in the chat, and I'll look and figure out where my alert was.
Oh, somebody posted a post on our site.
Yeah. Oh no! Stop it! Phone. New phone. Who dis?
Okay. Oh, yeah, somebody was asking. Favorite faction in Dune with a justification?
I mean, the alternate win condition for the Bene Gesserit is the greatest thing on the planet.
That's mine. It's like, because not only do you have the alternative win condition, but you get to look at people and smile the entire game and make them wonder if everything is going exactly as planned.
These are all Dune questions.
Yes. Whether you win or lose, whether the win condition comes up or not, it warps the entire game, and yes. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily my favorite to play, but they're the faction I'm happiest is in the game as is,
because they're the ones who guess the winner. Yes. And what turn and yes. Yeah, okay,
and with a good Bene Gesserit player that warps the entire game and it's wonderful.
Yeah, because you're just wondering, are they helping him to make sure that they can win at this
turn? Or may
not
even be helping. They're sitting in the corner and I'm about to win. They could say nothing. Like, even if they say nothing, they're not smiling at me or anything, I'm like, man, I'm playing Harkonnen and this is turn 4. Harkonnen turn 4 seems like a really safe guess. Should I just wait? They don't even have to fuck with you. Yeah. You'll do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. They make you question everything. I was going to say, I don't know Dune as well as I should, but I love...
I have 2 copies of it now.
I love... we should have a Dune tournament.
Because
a dournament.
We could have a dournament.
Dunament? Dunament.
What?
There may be an actual word, but Dune-a-mint. Yeah. No, I like Harkonnen. I've always going back to the movie itself. I liked the Harkonnen.
What?
Yeah.
That's like saying, like, I watched Lord of the Rings and rooted for the orcs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, I love Sting.
Sure.
Sting was, he was Harkonnen, right?
Yeah,
he was Fade. Yeah, I like them. I actually liked Baron Harkonnen as a villain. I thought he was...
So, like, fun trivia. Yeah. Sting, he's got the famous, like, sci-fi Speedo that he wears when he comes out, like, for the combat.
I don't remember it, but...
Yeah. I'll Google a picture for you. But anyway, sure. He's got this weird... Because it's like... Speedo that has like the Cadillac fins from the 70s on the side of it. It's space Speedo.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he comes out of like this spa ready for his combat wearing that. Originally Sting wanted to be nude and they forced him. They're like, we don't want to have just you hanging dong in our movie. It'll affect the ratings. You need to have the space Speedo. So Raylene was a very horny puberty girl around the time that this movie came out. So when I told her this, she was very angry because horny teenage Raylene would have loved to see Sting hanging dong.
Well, she.
I'm sure
she,
she's happy I told that story.
She got David Bowie, so that's okay.
Did he? I don't remember him hanging dong in any.
No, but you got to see.
She got Labyrinth. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. Is you got to
see.
She
saw that movie 3 times in the theater. She says it was magical.
Hey,
larger than life.
Hey, there's a reason why I went to go see The Rocketeer multiple times in the theater. there was a Jennifer Connelly in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Also, The Rocketeer is fucking amazing.
Rocketeer is fucking amazing. It's a shame that it did badly because it's a really good movie that deserved a franchise.
Come on. You can't tell me that I don't know why I'm arguing it like that, but the whole sequence where the FBI Jesus Christ.
That's what speedos look like in the year 50,000 or 50 million. Why am I blanking on when Dune takes place?
But no, the sequence where the FBI or the CIA guys and the mob were fighting the Nazis together.
Because they might be in the mob, but they're Americans, damn it. Remember when Americans hated Nazis no matter which side of the political spectrum they were on? I do.
Yeah. I miss those times. I wish some of our elderly that were alive during that time would kick some fucking ass.
Nazis are bad.
Nazis are fucking bad.
The last and possibly only time that America was 100% morally in the right in the history of this country was when we decided to kill all the Nazis on the planet.
Well, not really, because we were pretty morally bad then too.
But as far as an individual decision, like at the time, we also put a bunch of Japanese people in camps, which is bad. But as far as an individual decision that America made as a country,
we don't like Nazis. Yes,
let's kill all the Nazis on the planet. Might have been the first, last, and only time.
Fair.
Anyway,
fair. Zappity.
Grumble.
Do you think you've ever played with all the rules right? This is for Dune as well.
Yes. Yeah, I have the game pretty well memorized by now.
I mean, statistically speaking, I would say that the odds are no, but I have played games that I was happy with.
yeah.
And having just now played with all of the advanced rules this most recent time, including the double spice blow and paying for troopers, I actually did enjoy those rules more than I thought I would. Brian vocally did not enjoy the paying for your troopers rule in the advanced thing, but I think you're not supposed to enjoy it. Like, it's a limiting factor for some of the factions, and he was playing one of the factions that it hurts, and that he was playing Harkonnen, and it makes their life harder. I was Atreides, so it was making my life harder too, but those were two factions who lives needed to be harder, and it makes life easier for the Fremen, who needed their life to be easier, and so I think as a balancing thing to make the game more equal, it's the right way to play.
Fair. Is that ready? Grumble. The map, good or bad? Jacob can't genuinely decide.
Yeah, no.
The map is basically the exact same map that was in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if he's limiting to the new one. Like, the new one's just the old one, you know, again. Not just much has changed. Very few things have changed. They added the Emperor's Alliance ability. They limited faction alliances to two instead of three. They changed a couple little things. Really, the main abilities they changed are the Fremen not paying for combat dial and the Emperor having an alliance ability and how Karama cards work. And all those changes are good.
Karama?
The Karama card.
Oh, I thought you were just mispronouncing karma.
Well, it is. It's an alternate spelling / pronunciation, but it is. It's Karama, but it is
okay.
Karma.
Okay.
Because apparently karma, the word, comes from the Arabic word Karama. Okay. We just simplified it.
Yeah.
But a lot of words in Dune come from Arabic because it's blatantly the Middle East.
Yeah.
And like the Paul Atreides is blatantly just Lawrence of Arabia. Like it is, the book is a little problematic as far as white people come save the indigenous, you know, whatever.
Sure.
No, the map's good. The map's got a lot of real subtle stuff. It's amazing how many spaces are just one space further away than you'd want them to be when you have your ornithopters or when you're the Fremen and you're coming on to the northern hemisphere and then moving and you're like, why can't I get there? Why is that five away instead of four? Fuck you, game. Mm-hmm. The map does a good job of that. Also, it's important to stick with the mistranslation, whatever you want to call it, and have O gap so that you can say it like Bismarcky. Because there's the old gap, but one of the earlier editions of the book, the map in the front, instead of old gap, they put O gap, O-H, so it's like O snap, but it's O gap. And so that stuck around in a lot of other maps, including the original version of the Dune board game had O gap. And so fan-made maps, like, people, there are arguments in holy wars over whether or not to correct it or not correct it on fan-made maps.
Fair. And then the last question from Jacob was, why can't nukes be used to blow up anything except the shield wall?
Because the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I should read the book sometime.
First book's super good. Like I said, it's got a little bit of the white savior thing going around. That's a shame. It also definitely has feminine equals evil, which is an unfortunate trope you'll see, especially with like the Hayes Committee and stuff like that.
Like, so it's just like the Middle East.
Well, no, I mean, it's, yeah. That was more just the American thing. Like, if you look at the Hayes Code and stuff like that, any gay characters, like being gay was frowned upon by like the censorship bureaus. Mm-hmm. And so if you had a character who was openly gay or bisexual or any other such non-straight, they just had to be evil.
But no, you should read the book. I mean, Dune is a classic of Western literature. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the next two books in the series are not.
But they're fine.
Yeah. And the next two are fine, but they are not classics of Western literature. Right. And then you stop there.
You have a great book. You have a good trilogy. Mm-hmm. And then you have insanity.
Yes.
And I want to really stress that you don't have a great book, then a good trilogy, then terrible books. You have insanity, which some people enjoy that insanity.
Yes.
It's a thing. It is batshit insane.
Yeah, it's like nearly Lovecraftian.
It's like a mix between Lovecraftian and David Lynch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like if David Lynch was writing Lovecraft fan fiction.
Yeah.
More power to you if you enjoy like God Emperor of Dune. It makes my brain hurt. But yeah, fluff accuracy. Mm-hmm. It would kind of be interesting if you could family atomics anywhere, because especially like if it would just like wipe out a spot like Lasgun explosion style, but it didn't have the long lasting effect of Arrakeen and Karthag being now exposed to the storm. Meh, it could be interesting. You could have it wipe out any single space, and that single space is no longer storm protected. Oh, no, because the shield wall maintains storm protected just because it's a mountain. So it would just have to be like if you used it in a siege, maybe that siege would no longer be shield storm protected. I don't know. You could house rule that. It wouldn't be the worst thing ever. But the reason it is the way it is in the game is because the book did it that way.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble. So what animal, living or extinct, would you put... Would you place in the S tier, and why? What is the S tier?
Like if life was a game.
Yeah, tardigrades. Oh. Got to be tardigrades.
I mean, they're survivable, but they're not doing anything for your party. They're not pulling aggro. They're not putting out DPS. I mean, like, but yeah they're super survivable, but that's like NPC children in Fallout game not being able to be killed. Like, they're not winning.
I will answer right away. Just because I want to see how they functioned and actually ate, I want to see how a saber-toothed cat, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I just want to see, how that thing actually functions, because it has ridiculously huge fangs on there. How does that thing normally eat? It's just...
I saw some special on the Animal Planet Once Upon a Time that talked about it was probably like through choking or strangulation more than puncture. Like the teeth just kind of like...
Just help lock on.
Yeah, or something like that.
But I mean, like, it just eating normally with like two giant things on your... Yeah. That, and I want to see if they chase a laser.
I mean, obviously you could say stuff like the T-Rex must be S tier, right? Nothing's going to hunt it. It's going to kill everything, blah, blah, blah. I mean, living hippos are grossly underappreciated. Yes.
I don't think they're underappreciated. I mean, they're...
People who know about hippos realize they're S tier.
Yeah.
People who just see a picture of a hippo waddling around and wiggling its ears and eating a watermelon, you're like, it's so cute. Now, that'll fuck you.
Look at its tail. Shit is going everywhere. Oh, it's so awesome.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. They will murder your ass to death. Hippos are definitely S tier. Trying to think of T-Rex is the obvious one, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the T-Rexes are not as sexy. Are not as sexy as us kids that grew up in the 80s are usually led to believe.
Oh, I could steal one, because this question obviously comes from Tier Zoo, which is amazing. Maybe that'll be my recommendation. I think Tier Zoo had an episode about pigs. Talk about how pigs are A tier, and there was like a giant pig, like a pig the size of a car, with just this massive shovel face that was just this unstoppable god monster until the Ice Age killed it off. So that guy will fuck you up.
Yeah, didn't they exist up until like early ancient times, and humans hunted them to extinction because, oh my fucking god.
I don't know if they hunted them or if it was an Ice Age kind of thing.
It's generally believed that humans in southern Europe slightly overlap the giant boars.
They might, like, I know that the woolly mammoths were still on the planet when we started building the pyramids.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff overlapped.
Yeah.
The hell pig, that's what it was called. Let me look up the hell pig here.
Oh, this might be a different one. I mean, I know there were giant pigs. There were giant pigs in Greece that the ancient Greeks talked about, but they hunted them to extinction because, holy fuck, pigs are terrifying.
Oh, no, this one was way back when. The entelodont, known as the hell pig or terminator pig, lived 37.2 to 15.97 million, so 37 to 16 million years ago.
So sometime in the future, we send a pig back to the past.
Correct.
With a robot skeleton with living tissue. Wait, living tissue over endoskeleton, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going with the hell pig.
Okay.
Did you say it? You wanted T-Rex. Tardigrades.
No, tardigrades.
7 feet tall with a brain the size of an orange. That guy weren't thinking.
Yeah. No, it would be kind of cool to see what an actual T-Rex looked like. Because, you know, there's all the talks that, it's just a gigantic fucking bird.
Yeah. The current understanding is that adult tyrannosaurs probably do not have feathers, that they had it, but young tyrannosaurs did. But it's still maybe possible that adult tyrannosaurs did. Yep. And if you've ever seen what birds do, I mean, the point of feathers, even when you're not flying, is because they're excellent at insulation.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, birds, when it's cold, just huddle down and puff out their feathers. Yeah. So I like to imagine that it's like in the distant past, big fluffy T-Rexes cuddled up and puffed out. So they're just giant balls of feathers in the middle of the savannah. And also, given how we know the relationship is that, I mean, existent birds are not just descended from dinosaurs. They are literally tyrannoraptors, which is the group that includes tyrannosaurs and velociraptors. I mean, that's all existing mm-hmm. birds mm-hmm. are in that group.
Well, sure. I mean, an apatosaurus isn't going to turn into a chicken, right? Yeah. But you look at a chicken, you look at a Deinonychus, and you can see that's the same goddamn thing.
Yeah. But so you have to imagine that in the savanna of years past that you would have to go out and be careful when you heard the squawk of the tyrannosaur.
Mm-hmm. Think if you could actually farm tyrannosaurs.
This says the hell pigs could open their mouths up to 150 degrees, similar to the yawning of a hippo. So yeah, definitely hell pig.
Yeah, megalodon too, mm-hmm. ridiculously huge shark. Yeah. I think as though those
sharks are S tier. I mean, entirely right. Like you have to consider sharks to be S tier. You have to consider all of the crocodile family, whether it be crocodile, alligator, caimans. Those are all S tier. Mm-hmm. I mean, you reach a level of perfection, and you're good to go.
But their young sound so adorable.
Pew pew.
Also, I mean, I really like crows.
Oh, corvids are so good.
I raised a blue jay from a very young age once. I like corvids in general.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
Problem.
How do you feel about the Riot Quest models in War Machine and Hordes, fluff and appearance wise?
Hate it.
I don't pay attention to the fluff and the appearances. Meh.
Yeah, but if I have to look at the appearance of the model, like they don't look like they belong in War Machine and Hordes. They definitely it's
I don't like Bamfist.
Yeah, right. Bamfist does not look like anything in the Iron Kingdoms.
Yeah. Dez is okay. I mean Dez is less than okay. I don't like Bamfist. I don't like Butcher 4.
It's just a completely different aesthetic, and it clashes.
But I mean, in some of them, like Leadfoot is fine, Harlow is fine, Black Bella is fine, Dreyfus is fine.
Don't like the aesthetic of what's her name that's got the wrench,
sure,
Gidget,
yeah,
or Widget,
yeah. She just
whatever it is, Gadget.
I mean, her appearance is too cartoony for.
Yeah,
for
I don't
the world
like. Yeah, I don't like her.
And why is Haymus so sexy? Like, she is just sexy strutting, and I'm like,
but
he's back.
She's fine.
She actually fits the aesthetic of the Convergence more.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, she's just like Iron Mother. Iron Mother letting her hair down.
Sure.
Well, it's a steel soul protector. Just sexied.
But stuff like Bamfist, you know, just
yeah. I don't like Bamfist. So I don't like Dez. I don't like Gidget, whatever. And I don't really care for Butcher.
And what
Four.
Is the fluff? Like none of the.
This is after the Infernals.
I understand Riot Quest fluff.
Yeah. Oh sure.
Did they step into a portal and that's how they're like?
I mean,
how are they here?
It
now?
Is too. It is too late to have that issue because we have Severius Zero in every Protectorate list, and even though he's at when Severius Zero was the age he was in the story progression, every other Protectorate caster that he can be in an army with wasn't born yet.
Yeah, the Zeros have the same issue with the possible squint your eyes at their explanation of, like, the rule book has an explanation for mirror matches, and that is one of those two people is a pretender.
Yeah.
Right? So you can say that's some guy cosplaying as, you know, he's a big fan of Sevi, and he came to battle. Hey, look, guys, I'm Sevi back when he was in college. Hey! Mm. And they're like, great costume! And they all go into battle. Fine. Yeah. But that doesn't explain Widget or Bamfist, you know.
Yeah.
Some guy like, hey, I'm dressed as a guy that's going to exist in 1,000 years when the apocalypse happens. Punchy.
I mean,
also, none of this technology exists. Shrug.
I mean, the only thing they could really do to make it really work is literally a Mark IV and then just progress the storyline-wise to that point.
Or of Riot Quest didn't need to be post-apocalyptic and could have just been random assholes in a dungeon.
Yeah.
Like,
possibly.
They could have kept it the same level of literally everything else, and then there'd be no issue.
Here's how you should view them. You view them like the Blood Bowl universe is the old world. It's not the same old world. It's just something different. But technically, you have the Blood Bowl players in...
And of course, Nathan's opinions on this are only valid until Highway to Helga comes out.
I mean, I will probably still not like the aesthetic. I mean, it'll be neat. It just, like I said, I don't mind in a vacuum, you know, how these models look. I don't mind in Riot Quest how these models look. I mind Helga on a motorcycle in Hordes because that makes no sense with the story that's supposedly being told.
Correct.
Leadfoot and Treads and whatever. They look fine to that level, except unless I'm misremembering, aren't they the first tread? Isn't everything else wheeled?
Yeah.
Like, that technology doesn't exist.
Yeah, correct.
And so...
Is there nothing with a tread?
No.
No, nothing else has treads. Mm. I mean, people mod...
Like, war wagons and stuff get modded. Yeah. I've seen road hogs with modded treads, which was kind of neat, you know. But it's not... And so it's just... It feels like Riot Quest is in the future just so that they could flex their creativity and have some futuristic stuff, right? Like, we want to have this thing, and it's not here, so we need to set... And that's fine, but then you bring it back in, and it doesn't make sense. You know, you can't just have Shadowrun characters in your Dungeons & Dragons campaign. And that's what it feels like to me. And, I mean, that's fine. Like, you don't have to overthink it, but if I'm forced to discuss specifically how I feel about their fluff and their appearance... in Hordes and War Machine, I fucking hate it.
Yeah. They are great in their own games.
And they're fine models. Like, I'm not... Rules-wise, I have no problems with them.
Yeah.
But it just... It does not make sense.
Correct. Yeah.
But it doesn't have to bug everybody. But you're wrong if it doesn't.
All right. That is it for the Zappity Grumbles.
All right.
As I saw there was nothing else on the sheets there. And
I'd like to recommend Tier Zoo, since that was brought up, and I didn't really have a recommendation. I was going to...
That's an interesting wordplay.
What?
Tier Zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is it German?
No.
The show isn't? Okay.
Nope. But it's great. I was going to kind of half-heartedly recommend Dr. Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Sleep's okay. Go see it if you like The Shining.
It's a sequel to The Shining.
And specifically, this version of Dr. Sleep is a sequel to the film version of The Shining, not the book version of The Shining. So if you've read the book version of The Shining, it's a book about the a bunch Shrining. Of guys in little cars zooming around in the Fez and killing people.
Fuck, I would love...
The Shining.
Probably less of the killing people, but the guys in the little cars...
If it's a Stephen King story, the Shriners have to be scary.
Oh, that's true, too.
It's The Shining. But anyway, the movie version of The Shining is very different than the book version of The Shining. Thus, the movie version of Dr. Sleep is very different than the book version of Dr. Sleep, because the movie version of Dr. Sleep is a sequel to the movie version of The Shining. That's it. It was very good. I enjoyed it very much. Especially if, like, if you are a Stephen King fan, I had not read the book version of Dr. Sleep, so I went into this blind. Raylene had seen it, and she normally hates Stephen King adaptations because she never feels that they're true to the books. And this one definitely is not true to the book, because it can't be. But we both enjoyed it. It was enjoyable. It was fun. Some good graphics and aesthetics. But that's not my recommendation. But we can talk about it a bit.
I haven't seen it. I don't think I've seen The Shining in many, many years. But I would. It seems interesting that Stephen King books or stories are starting to get adapted correctly nowadays, yeah, as compared to what seemed like, you know, people just doing what they want to do with the stories and then failing horribly.
I feel like, because Raylene and I were talking about this after seeing Dr. Sleep, and I feel like the previous successful Stephen King adaptations either just grossly do not adapt the story, like The Shining, or for the ones who are more faithful and are successful, they tend to be the more non-supernatural, or if they have supernatural, it's a smaller level and thus non-horror. Like, the best Stephen King adaptations, you have Stand By Me, which is just about some kids going to find a dead body. Mm-hmm. There is no supernatural in there.
Yeah.
You have Shawshank Redemption, which is just a human story about imprisonment and freedom and life. No supernatural. You have Green Mile, which has a little bit of supernatural, but A, it's not really necessary for the plot. It's just a MacGuffin. And B, it's not a horror story based on that magic. You know, the real horror comes from the non-magical stuff that happens there, like the dry sponge, right? Those are great adaptations, but they aren't boogie, 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 boo.
You have the great supernatural stuff of The Running Man as well.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, Running Man was a fine adaptation,
but it's
not supernatural, it's non-horror, and it's not a faithful adaptation.
Correct.
I think the first good horror adaptation that was pretty damn faithful was The Mist, and that was like not even a decade ago.
It was The Mist, and it actually did deviate a lot to the point
where the ending.
Yeah, and even Stephen King had said about that ending for that film is that he wishes he did it, because it was
that ending.
It's a very
it's a happy ending.
It's a very, honestly, I think it's done.
It's very well done.
Done in the terms of what Stephen King would have done, probably. I mean, it feels very Stephen King-ish, as even though, you know, yeah.
But my actual recommendation is Tier Zoo, since Jim brought it up in chat, and it's something I like, and I haven't bothered to talk about
it.
But Tier Zoo is a YouTube channel. The two words, T-I-E-R-Z-O-O, Tier Zoo. And it's just this guy who talks about animals.
Is it a theme zoo?
It is not a theme zoo. He talks about animals, and he gives facts and information, so it's an educational channel. But the setting of the story, of the way he talks about them, is that Earth is a video game, and these are character classes that you can play. And it's talk about, like, you know, hippos are one of the dominant player archetypes on the African server and stuff like this. And then he uses that kind of dialogue to really drive home what these things mean. Like,
sure.
You know that crocodiles, they're really good at offense. They can tank really well, but intelligence is their dump stat. And it, like, bring up, like, little things. It's entertaining and educational, which is what you look for in something. The gimmick works. Plus, it's cute. Like, they'll show, like, an animal, like, biting something. It'll have, like, little damage bubble numbers come up. He really leans into the gimmick. So those are my two recommendations, because I'm a cheater.
All right. I have been so busy, I'm going to cop out, and I'm going to suggest graduating.
I've never done that.
You
should try it sometime.
I do have an equivalent. So legally speaking, I am just as good as someone who actually graduated from high school. Yeah.
Think of where that got you. You're on this podcast.
Oh, fuck.
Do I have?
Oh, I also recommend you come to Warfare Weekend and play Twilight Imperium with people.
Yeah, come there and come to Warfare Weekend. Have some barbecue with us. And just hang out.
I don't know if they're making a trophy for my event. I don't think they are, so I need to go buy, like, a cheap bowling trophy to give to whoever wins.
They might have some. Message Chris.
Even not. I'll give somebody a cheap little plastic rocket ship.
There's there's a trophy shop over the thing.
What I want to do for trophies is just go, because like you can get at the grocery store a pile of pink Himalayan or a block of pink Himalayan salt.
Yeah.
And then take a router and carve your like first place into that and give somebody a block of a literal block of salt for their trophy.
Well, you can get one of the ones that's hollow and has the lamp inside of it.
Yeah.
And so they can have a glowing salt lamp trophy. Yeah.
Just don't get it wet.
You can.
Yeah. It takes a while.
It takes a lot of water to dissolve one of those things.
You can literally cook on the blocks the blocks of salt.
My recommendation is to hound one of your friends for basically years until they finally break down and start playing WoW again. Like Jim had basically said, it was like, I'll never play WoW. I'll never play WoW again. I'm done with WoW. And then, like, yesterday or on Friday when he came over to watch, we were watching The Terror again. He's like, yeah, I broke down and I bought a month subscription for a while. I'm playing on Classic. I will say, though, as much as Nathan has dogged Classic, there's a thing about a sense of accomplishment when you go through that game. Because you are actually accomplishing something. Other than a waste of time. We've been having a lot of fun playing WoW Classic. Also, check out fucking the cinematics for Blizzard for the Battle of Azeroth. As much as people...
Oh, check out the cinematic trailer for Diablo 4.
Jesus Christ.
That is super good.
So goddamn dark.
The gameplay... Like, I'm excited about Diablo 4... That cinematic is incredibly, like, tonally way dark. Although the trailer for Diablo 3 was also tonally super dark because it was the Chapter 3 trailer with Asmodan and what's her name? The lady in Diablo, Decker Kane's niece. Why can't I remember her name?
Yeah, I don't know, because she's like dead.
How dare you?
These games have stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. DLS 3 is actually pretty solid.
Well,
ish.
The lore is super solid. And the stories. Oh, my God. So, it could have been so good. Quick tangent rant about Diablo 3 here. Sorry. So, one of the main villains in Diablo 3 is Belial, the Lord of Lies.
Mm-hmm. It's
supposed to be this hell demon who's the incarnation of lying and deception and deceit. You'd think he'd be fucking good at it. So the chapter starts, and there's a little child prince in charge of the place where you are, and you instantly know that's Belial in disguise. It's the most obvious fucking thing ever. So you play through the chapter. The game pretends it's not the most obvious thing ever. Leah is the name of that character. Thank you, Jim and chat. Anyway, so you play through the game, or that chapter. You pretend it's the most not obvious thing ever, even though you know the entire time. The game refuses to admit that both of you and the game know that that's the Belial in disguise. You get to the end of the chapter, and you're like, aha, I know you're Belial in disguise. It's like, you caught me, and then you fight him, and you kill him, and that's the end of Belial. And it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
How about this? You go through the whole chapter. It's the most obvious goddamn thing that that's Belial in disguise. You get to the end. Your character goes, I know you're really Belial. He goes, you caught me. You fight him, and you kill him, and it's not him. It's a 10-year-old prince that you just murdered because everything, including his confession that you caught on to him, was Belial double-bluffing you, and he's still alive, and you just murdered the crown prince of this country.
Yeah.
The clown prince?
The clown prince. You just murdered the Joker. Like, yes! Like, yeah. Now you got something interesting. Mm-hmm. Now the plot can escalate from here. Instead of just hitting the reset button and you go to a new chapter and fight a new villain that's completely unrelated to Belial because I guess we're done with that now.
Yeah.
Instead, have chapter 3 be about the repercussions of you starting a war by killing this guy, right? Nobody's going to believe that you're like, no, he was a demon in disguise. No, he wasn't. You just killed a 10-year-old kid. You just started war.
The Primal Terrors don't... I mean, they really don't feel very... big in there. Like, Asmodan doesn't feel like he's that big in there, even though he's... Oh, man, I love Asmodan so much.
Yeah,
because
then all of Chapter 3 is Asmodan will be like, ha-ha, I have won the battle because I have this plan that cannot possibly fail. And he's right. That plan cannot possibly fail. He has won, and then it just fails for no reason because the writers decided that you need to win.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, he's like, ha-ha, I have this new plan that cannot possibly fail. And he's fucking right. It cannot possibly fail. And then the writers decide to just have it randomly fail because they need you to win.
I repeat my question. These games have stories?
Diablo 3's story is utter trash within Diablo 3. One didn't really have a story beyond, man, I gotta get the new May so mean. And the lore is phenomenal. Like, the background history before the games is all super interesting. Yep. The plot of 1 is really simple, and it's actually really, really good. The plot of 2 piggybacks off of 1, and it's actually really, really good. The stories of 1 and 2 are solid as fuck. And even the arcing story of 3 with the concept of the Black Soulstone and everything isn't too bad, but the individual chapters just stumble so hard. But 1 and 2 plot are really fucking good, actually. Yeah. I like them a lot, especially 2 with the fall of the hero of 1 and the rebirth of Diablo and all that stuff. It was well handled. Like, how do you get the villain back?
It's kind of like 40K, basically, where the gameplay is not the greatest in the world, but the overworld is interesting.
The lore, the background. So every time you find a book that explores the mythos behind these characters, the lore, that's so good.
How many systems are you going to buy Diablo 2 on?
Diablo 4, you mean?
No, Diablo 2.
Diablo 2 is now out on...
They're going to remaster Diablo 2.
Oh.
probably... If it's on the Switch, probably 2 copies on the Switch. Yeah. If it's not on the Switch, probably 2 copies on PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
I am very happy. So an interesting thing is that they didn't announce when Diablo 4 is coming out, but they did say it was developed for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, that means, oh, it must come out within the next year, but not really because the PlayStation 5 is fully backwards compatible. But it does mean that they're not waiting to do it for the 5 specifically.
Yeah.
So that puts it like a 2-year out thing, because you don't want to release something for a dead system. And although the PlayStation 5 comes out in 1 year, that means the PlayStation 4 is going to be dead in like 2 years.
Correct. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think this year was the first year that they really kind of stopped producing the free games for PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
I think that was this year. Yeah. And that's like 4 years of PlayStation 4.
Yeah. We'll see. Because, I mean, even though the PlayStation 5 is fully backwards compatible with 4, you don't want to keep developing games that don't take advantage of it being the 5.
Yeah.
And even if they don't take advantage of it, you'll still slap a 5 on the container.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if companies like Nintendo want to still ship out their games to developers that make Link's Awakening and games like that, I'm perfectly fine with. I don't need all games to be taking advantage of the hardware that's on there.
Right. Nick and chat just asked if anybody's recommended Disco Elysium. I think none of us have played Disco Elysium. I've heard nothing but good things. Yeah, yeah, it's on my list, but I haven't played it yet.
What is it?
What?
Disco Elysium.
It's a game.
It's basically a Baldur's Gate style RPG, except it's not in the present. It's in the late 80s set.
I think so, yeah.
And there's no combat.
Is that dance mechanics?
No. It's all social.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like all the Fallout.
Yeah, it's the way I like to play Fallout.
Yeah, sure.
Like, when I do my pacifist runs of... I have pacifist ran every Fallout game, except 4. I never bothered to do a pacifist run of 4 because I... Whatever.
You could do a pacifist run in WoW.
I can just be a fisherman in WoW.
But you don't get experience that way.
All right. I did full pacifist run City of Heroes.
All right. So, I don't... Did I recommend something?
Yeah. I don't remember what. Oh, it was getting Jim to play WoW.
Yeah. Yeah. getting
your recommendation was getting Jim to play WoW.
Yeah. It's already succeeded. So, yeah, there we go.
Yay. See people in 4 days.
Yeah. Nathan and I are probably going to be there Thursday afternoonish.
I mean, unless we have a car crash, we are definitely going to be there Thursday afternoonish.
Yeah. Hopefully I have enough room for all this stuff.
I got tons of fucking room. Yeah. I got a hatchback and no other passengers. We're covered. Yeah. I could bring the Who's the Boss wheel to this fucking thing.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, I could. I have an axe. It'd fit in the car. It's like when Raylene had me disassemble our picnic table.
For those listening on audio, you are missing the look Andy is giving Nathan.
Yeah.
I have glue to put it back together.
I just... Thank you guys for watching. Yep. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys maybe next week. We might have an audio podcast of some sort to put out, but I doubt it because Warfare Weekend's happening, and by the time we get back on Sunday, it's going
to
be late.
Yeah, because Monday morning I have to leave home at like 5 in the morning to get to O'Hare to fly out to Denver.
Are you going for family stuff?
Yeah.
On purpose?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and my mom doesn't listen to this. It's going to be an 8-day trip, and it was supposed to be 3 days at my mom's and then 5 days at my brother's. But Raylene, we're flying to Denver, and then from Denver we fly to Seattle, then we fly home from Seattle. And it's supposed to be 3 days and 5 days, but Raylene made it 4 and 4, which is fine. But I wanted to spend more time with my brother and my niece and my nephew than I wanted to spend with my mom and her mother-in-law. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if that's a terrible thing to say.
It's okay.
It's okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye.